We're coming now to our scripture reading, and we're glad that Dr. Douglas will bring that scripture reading to us just now.
Let us turn to the Word of God together. A reading from the Book of Psalms, from the Psalm 92. Can we notice in particular how the psalm begins? I think we ought to give regard to the title for the psalm. A psalm or a song for the Sabbath day. In the Old Testament, the Sabbath was that day set apart from all other days. And therefore, it was a day for contemplation, for the contemplation of God's holy word, for prayer, for worship. And so it should be for us. This is a psalm then eminently suited for worship in the house of God, and even as well in the privacy of our own homes. A leading thought there in verse 1 is, it is a good thing to give thanks. A good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Let's endeavour to put that into practice, and even to seek the Lord about it, that more and more we may be able to give the thanks to the Lord that is his due, and sing with all our hearts unto his name. Let's read then from the Psalm 92. A psalm or song for the Sabbath day. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth or to tell out thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. And here the sound has to do not so much with the music, but with the sound of God's holy word. And that's where the message comes in. It's conveyed in the delivery of the word of God. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. Can we give attention to the last word there, this? And if it helps you to grasp the sense of the passage, then add the word thing to it. And it would read like this, neither doth a fool understand this thing. What is this thing? First of all, looking at verse 5, if we go backwards for one verse, we must consider the greatness of God, his operation in the world and in the lives of men. How great are the things of God? And the brutish man, the fool, does not understand this thing. Furthermore, if we move on a verse from here to verse 7, you can see the ungodly, and they're headed for eternal destruction. That man in his sins there will perish forever if he does not speedily come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a Saviour. And this is one thing that the wicked man, the ungodly man, does not understand. He does not understand this, as he should, that he will perish if he persists in his sin. Let's take up the reading at verse 7. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. And here this matter of the sinner's destruction is doubly emphasized. We should notice those things that are repeated forcefully in the scriptures. God intends that we give closer attention there, just then, at that point. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish, all the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt, like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ear shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show, and again this word means to tell out, to tell forth, to show that the Lord is upright. The Lord is right in all things. And we have to establish that for those who are young, for those who are older. Even the word of God itself is put into this category. The word of the Lord is right. The Lord is right in what he purposes to do. To show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. May the Lord be pleased to bless the reading of his holy word and our meditation together upon it, even as the Lord's servant brings the message for today. Amen.
Can I ask you to turn with me now to God's word and to the 23rd Psalm? We have been looking at this psalm for a number of Lord's days, and we're returning to it again together this morning. And today we're coming to the fifth verse. The Psalm 23 and the verse 5 is my text for this morning. The psalmist says of the Lord, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." And as we think upon this fifth verse, what we're seeing here is blessings abundant upon the Lord's people. Let us just unite together in prayer and ask the Lord for help as we come to minister his word. Our Heavenly Father and our gracious God, we do praise thee that we can open up the scriptures together. We thank thee for the liberty that we enjoy and even the privilege of having thy word before us. And we ask, O God, as we would come to thee in prayer, that thou wouldst prepare each one of our hearts. And as we would come to meditate upon thy word, as we would desire our Father to preach the unsearchable riches of our Lord and Saviour, give to us, O God, that great grace. Give us that needed help from heaven, the infilling of thy Spirit. And our desire would be that in everything that is said and done, it would be with that single eye to the glory and praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things in his precious and worthy name. Amen. Well, all through this psalm, we have noticed how the shepherd is providing for his sheep, and he provides for them in various ways. He has provided for their temporal needs. He has provided for their physical needs. And even it's been speaking to us about that spiritual provision for God's people, and provides for them right out into eternity itself. And we could not begin to number the blessings that the Lord bestows upon his people. And this fifth verse is indicating to us just how liberally and how plentifully the Lord bestows those blessings, the manifold blessings of the Lord for his people. And you know, as the psalmist thought in Psalm 40 about the blessing of the Lord and how the Lord favors his people and his gracious thoughts toward his people, the psalmist said there, if I was to declare and think of them, they are more than can be numbered. More than can be numbered. And so we're not just thinking about the Lord meeting the needs for his people by giving them just enough. The thought here in this fifth verse is of the Lord giving them more than enough. And it's shown to us here with three different pictures, really, in this one verse. And those pictures are there to indicate to us something of how the Lord provides in such an abundant fashion for his people. The three pictures are shown there in the verse, the preparing of the table. There's the first picture. And then the anointing of the head with oil. There's the second one. And then the cup running over. There's the third one. Now, if you were to look at verse 5 and you were to just look at it in isolation without thinking about the whole of the psalm, and you read that verse, you would perhaps think, well, there's no connection here between the shepherd and the sheep. These are completely different illustrations. And there are some commentators who would take that line and would say that the thought of the shepherd and the sheep now ceases and it moves on to other figures and illustrations. But we would take the place that the thought of the shepherd and the sheep runs right through this psalm. And I trust that even as we look into the fifth verse, we'll see that that picture is still there. David is still speaking about the shepherd and his sheep. And we're going to look at each of those three pictures in turn. And the first of them there is the preparing of the table. We're thinking here firstly about the fellowship of the Lord. The fellowship of the Lord. Thou preparest a table before me. And the picture that is here created in our minds is that we're the Lord's guests. And we are coming around his table. And guests around the table are enjoying the provision and they're enjoying that fellowship together. And yet that would seem a strange thing in relation to sheep. Sheep do not sit around a table as we would do. So how is this relating to the shepherd and his sheep? Well, the table in verse 5 could perhaps be better understood as table land. And if you're familiar with that expression, table land, that's referring to a very flat plateau. An area sometimes found at the top of a mountain. And whenever you get to the top of the mountain, you find there's that large flat area, a plateau or a table land. That's what it's referred to. An area that is lush with that fresh pasture and with that grass. And therefore, the table being prepared here for the sheep is the table land. And David is no doubt thinking of that, the one who himself was a shepherd. And he would have led his sheep many times to the mountain top and to that table land. And he could see how the sheep would be provided for there in an abundant fashion. And David now carrying that into the Psalm 23, the psalm of testimony of his own life. And as one of the Lord's sheep, he could say of the Lord, "Thou preparest a table before me." How the Lord would provide, as it were, that table land for him. We sometimes sing about the table land, and maybe you'd never thought of that. That hymn, "I'm pressing on the upward way," the chorus says, "Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground." And it's speaking about that mountaintop experience and getting to the table land there, that flat plateau. And spiritually, in our earthly pilgrimage, we can have that mountaintop experience with the Lord, and the Lord can feed us with His provision. He has given to us that spiritual food. He has granted to us the manna, the bread of life from heaven, the blessed scriptures that we have before us. We have the means of grace from which to draw from. And we can know that strengthening of our faith in the Lord, that increase in the things of God, lifting us higher up the mountainside with Him, till we reach that table land and we enjoy that blessed fellowship with Him through His Word, as He would feed us upon the finest of the wheat. The table land experience. Thou preparest the table before me. The words are added there in verse 5, in the presence of mine enemies. You think of David himself, and he leads the sheep there. And remember, they've just come through the valley in verse 4. Through that dark and difficult valley, and we indicate it there. Why would a shepherd ever lead his sheep through such a valley? Now it's to lead them on to something far better and something far greater. And they've now come out of the valley. They've climbed the mountain. They're on that table land. They're able to feed upon all that the Lord has provided there. But it says, in the presence of mine enemies. And David would have known that even when he got his sheep there to that table land and to that luscious flat plateau for the sheep, there was still danger. Wild animals would still have been about, and the sheep would have been at risk from wild animals. There would have been perhaps circling overhead those vultures and buzzards that could come down even to snatch away the lambs of the flock. There would be still the pestilence and the infection that the sheep would be at risk of, with the various parasites that would be about. And the enemies are there. The foes are there. But surely the idea being conveyed to us in the fifth verse, that while the danger and the snare could still be present, the sheep are preserved. They're protected by the loving shepherd. And the enemies, in the presence of mine enemies, they would have to look on. And perhaps they would look on with amazement as to how the shepherd has provided for the sheep and protected the sheep, and they witness the evident blessing, that whole scene of contentment that there is with the sheep as they graze there upon the table land. Hey, the enemy would have to conclude, the Lord hath done great things for them whereof they are glad. I don't know your current circumstances. There are many who would face the difficulty. The adversary would be against them. But here's the Lord who is able to preserve and to protect and to provide for His sheep even in the presence of our enemies. It's an interesting question that is asked in the Psalm 78. And in the Psalm 78, it's recounting there something of the history of Israel. And as it's going down there, it's referring to their time in the wilderness. And in Psalm 78 and the verse 19, you would find the question here, yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Now, they're asking the question, but they're asking it in an ungrateful way. They're asking it in a way that's actually provoking the Lord to anger. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? They're asking it in unbelief, and they're doubting and limiting the power of the Lord. Can the Lord furnish a table in the wilderness? The answer to that question is yes. The Lord can furnish a table in the wilderness. And he proved that to Israel over a 40-year period. The Lord was able to provide for them in a miraculous fashion. They had bread every morning with the manna. They even experienced water from the rock. And the Lord furnished a table in the wilderness. Even if you find yourself today in something of a spiritual wilderness, the Lord can prepare that table. The Lord can furnish that table for you. You remember in the New Testament and the Gospels, and the Lord had the vast multitudes before him, recorded in each of the Gospels the feeding of the 5,000 and how the Lord multiplied the bread and the fishes. There were 5,000 men beside women and children who were fed, and they were able to take up the 12 baskets full of that which remained. Can the Lord furnish a table in the wilderness? And where the 5,000 were fed, it was called a desert place. And so we have the evidence in Scripture that no matter what the circumstances are, the Lord can prepare that table for his people. You think of the Lord's table, that table of remembrance. And I know at the present time and the circumstances, we're not able to meet together as a congregation, and therefore we're not able to come around the table of the Lord. But you think of that table, and you think of the emblems upon that table. And there's the bread, and the bread that speaks of the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The body that was torn, his flesh that was opened, the blood flowed from his broken flesh. Therefore, the cup upon that table that speaks of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, they're only emblems, and it's only bread, and it's only wine, but it's speaking to us of the great work of redemption that was accomplished by our Lord and Savior, and what a table he has prepared. Table that speaks of a finished work that we can rest upon, that we can stake our all upon, we can rest our eternity upon the work. We can remember what the Lord has done for us, and we therefore around his table we feed our souls, and we're feeding our souls spiritually. And as we feed there our souls by faith upon the finished work of Christ, may there's a strengthening, and we can say truly of the Lord, Thou preparest a table before me. There's another table the Lord has prepared, spoken of in Revelation chapter 19 and the verse 19. That's the table of the Lord's redeemed. And it speaks about the great marriage supper of the Lamb. And may all who are the Lord's sheep, who are the Lord's people, who have accepted him as their own and personal Savior, there's a place there reserved around that table. And one day future, we shall all gather around that table, we'll sit at that table. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, and there's a table prepared there. Thou preparest the table before me, and every saved soul will have their place at that table. Will you be there? Is there a place reserved there for you? Thou preparest a table before me. There's that fellowship with the Lord. But I want you to notice the second picture in our text of Scripture, verse 5, if you look at that verse, it says, Thou anointest my head with oil. And there's the freshness of the Lord. The freshness of the Lord, Thou anointest my head with oil. Now, in the course of the study, I've referred already to the fact that the Eastern shepherd would have carried that little bottle of oil, a little cruse of oil. And in the evening time, whenever he was examining every one of the sheep, he would have been looking at the sheep for wounds for any ailments, for any affliction that they have suffered through the course of the day. Maybe there's a sheep that is beginning to ail, one that is sick, one that's in need of help. The shepherd would have taken that bottle of oil and he would have poured it over the head of the sheep and he would have refreshed the sheep. And that anointing of the head was to help them, to strengthen them. There would have been a soothing there with that oil. No doubt it was olive oil. The soothing of the oil. And the comfort that that would have brought even to the sheep. There would have been something of a healing virtue there. Thou anointest my head with oil. Can you imagine the sheep there that was perhaps weary with the journey and the toils of the day? How refreshing that would have been. The shepherd would come and pour out that anointing oil. That anointing oil in the Bible speaks to us of the Holy Spirit of God. And our great shepherd has promised the Holy Spirit of God. The Savior, before he left this scene of time, he said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And thank God we have the Spirit of truth, we have the Spirit of God, and the promise is that the Holy Spirit will be poured out upon us. There would be that fresh experience with the Lord. Now every believer needs that. You've known the toils of the day, perhaps the weariness of the pilgrimage, and you're ready for that fresh anointing. Dr. Douglas read for us from the Psalm 92, and the reason I asked him to read that portion of Scripture was really due to the 10th verse, and you will see the connection with our text of Scripture, Psalm 92 and the verse 10, but my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. And then the end of the verse says, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. And there are words that are speaking in such a definite way. There's the promise of that anointing. I shall be anointed. And you think there of that anointing, it's with fresh oil. Fresh outpouring of that oil upon the head. And it's speaking to us about that fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. The power of God to rest upon His people. Dr. Douglas mentioned to us from the title of this psalm that it's a psalm or song for the Sabbath day. No better time. No better time for that fresh anointing. And to come even this Christian Sabbath, and to come afresh to the Lord and to ask the Lord that you would know that fresh anointing of God, the Holy Spirit, even personally in your heart and in your life, and the Lord would empower you and you would know that time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Oh, we need to ask, we need to cry to the Lord for it. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Take the promise before the throne of grace. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? I shall be anointed with fresh oil. If you look also at the 45th Psalm, you'll find there's another reference there to the anointing in the Psalm 45. And of course, this is a psalm that would be speaking to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the promised Messiah. And of course, that very title, Messiah, means anointed, anointed one. And speaking to us in Psalm 45 about the anointed one, it tells us there in the verse 7, Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness, therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Anointed with the oil of gladness. And that's speaking to us in a prophetical sense about the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. He would be the Anointed One. And in Luke 4 and the verse 18, the Savior was able to say of the Lord, He hath anointed me. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Anointed One, anointed with the oil of gladness. Called here the oil of gladness to speak about that joy that there is, the joy in the Spirit. And that's one of the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so forth. The Savior going forth in that great work of redemption, going forth as the Anointed One, going forth with the oil of gladness upon Him. And Paul said, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The oil of gladness was upon the Savior as He carried out that great work for our redemption. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. And that anointing of the head with oil, it was an Eastern custom or practice. And in every home there would have been hanging that little cruse of oil. And when a special guest of honor would come, oh, they would be welcomed by the host, but that cruse of oil would be taken and they would anoint their special guest. And that was a mark of the love and respect and esteem that they had for them. And that expression of love, there was the anointing of their head and there would have been the fragrance of the oil that would have carried through the house that the guest of honor was there. And you know that happened to the Savior Himself. It's recorded in the Gospels in Matthew 26. He was in the house of Simon the leper there at Bethany. And the woman came with the alabaster box of precious ointment. And it tells us that she broke the alabaster box of ointment and she poured it upon the Savior's head. And there it was an act of love, an act of devotion. She was pouring out, as it were, her heart to the Lord. She was honoring the Lord. And while there were those who were not happy with her act, the Lord defended her. And the Lord said, she did it for my burial. And there was the Lord with His head anointed. And no doubt the fragrance there would have filled that house. And the thought is, how beautiful a home that has the fragrance of the Lord upon it. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Anointed One. And He has promised that anointing for His people. Thou anointest my head with oil. And so verse 5 is speaking to us about fellowship with the Lord. Thou preparest a table before me. It's speaking about the freshness of the Lord. Thou anointest my head with oil. But thirdly, I want you to see here the fullness of the Lord. My cup runneth over. There's the thought of fullness. And if you carry forward that thought in the East of a guest of honor being there in the home, if the host desired that that guest would remain on, they would come to the cup of their host and they would fill it to overflowing. And it was an expression of their desire that the guest would remain and the guest would abide there, the overflowing cup. Speaks of abundance there in the giving. And you can see that thought with the Lord and what He gives to His sheep, what He gives to His people. We're overflowing with blessing. You remember that little chorus that you maybe learned as a child, running over, running over. My cup's full and running over since the Lord saved me. I'm as happy as can be. My cup's full and running over. The abundant blessing of the Lord upon His people, and our cup today is overflowing with blessing. And our cup can only overflow with blessing because the Savior drank from another cup and he emptied that cup. And that cup was the cup of the wrath of God. The hymn writer says, that bitter cup, love drank it up. Now blessings draft for me. And the Lord Jesus, as he suffered and endured there the torment of the cross, he emptied the cup of the wrath of God as it was poured out upon him. And because he has emptied that cup, he can fill our cup. He fills our cup with blessings abundant. Blessings that are overflowing. The psalmist said in Psalm 68, blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits. Even the God of our salvation, he daily loads us with benefits. You think about the grace of the Lord. And Paul said, where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. The abounding and abundant grace of God. We have been looking at the little epistle of James on a Monday evening, and James said there in chapter 4, he giveth more grace. He giveth more and more to the extent that the cup is overflowing. You think of the Lord's pardon. How does the Lord pardon us? It tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's not a spot that remains. We're made whole. We're cleansed whereby our hearts that once were red like crimson are now as white as snow. When God gives peace to his people, how does he give peace? Paul said it's a peace that passeth all understanding. When he gives promises to his people, they're exceeding great and they're precious promises. When the Lord gives joy to his people, it's described as a joy unspeakable and it's full of glory. When the Lord gives us salvation, Paul said it's so great salvation. When you think of heaven and you think of the glory that awaits every child of God, we could never begin to imagine, for eye has not seen and ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which the Lord has prepared for them that love him. It's an eternal weight of glory. Therefore, when we think of the blessings that the Lord so graciously, so liberally, so plentifully bestows upon us, we have to say, my cup runneth over. My cup is overflowing with the fullness of the Lord. My cup today is abundant and overflowing with the blessings that the Lord provides for his sheep. May we see today these blessings abundant in our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ.